Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sodomites, and welcome to the Sinister Sissies podcast, your guide to true crime, horror, and everything man on man and macabre. I'm Jared, your master of depravity, and Sam, I've just realized you don't have like a thing.
I'm just like the slave to the depravity. I'm just long for the ride.
And my little slave.
That's me.
Sam Hamilton.
Howdy.
And Slave Boy is in charge for today's episode. What are we doing today?
Thank you, Master. So kind of you. So today we're going to be reviewing and dissecting the 2004 slasher film Hellbent.
This is where it happened. Two guys were murdered on this spot.
Their heads were cut off so cleanly.
The tubes?
They weren't crushed at all. They were wide open.
The one night of the year, Halloween, when you get to indulge your most twisted fantasies.
Flaming penis?
You got three right here.
One swallow, you're hooked.
Life is meant for living.
Are your buddy or something?
So for any sissies unaware of this film, it's the quintessential gay slasher film, potentially the only.
It's not that it's the quintessential, it's that it's the only gay slasher film.
Allegedly it did lead to like a new wave of gay horror, but I just am not aware of any of those films. So please let us know if you are aware of them.
Yes. Well, we need content to do more movie episodes.
I want more hot guys getting carved up. I'm into it. So yeah, this film is from 2004. It was directed by this guy, Paul, can't remember his last name, very professional.
Paul Etheridge.
You go, Paul Etheridge. He went on to have a very successful career as an art director, and I think even as like recently as last year, he was the art director for a really big TV series. So he's used this as a springboard, so.
What do you want, some Halloween balloons? Or a hot night with me?
The balloons will last longer.
So basically the film is about a group of gay friends. They're all roommates, apparently, even though we never see them in the same house. And, you know, they're all quite archetypal, but likable, I think. I think they do. There is a good chemistry between the friends.
I disagree with likable, but we'll continue.
All right. Well, in terms of slasher movie victims, I didn't want them all to die, okay? So we got Eddie, who's like the lead.
I wanted them all to die, but continue.
What about Eddie? Okay. He was hot.
So Eddie's the lead. He is mildly attractive. I don't find him very attractive at all.
Well, look, I'm glad we don't have to fight over men. That's good. So Eddie went on to be in... The actor who played Eddie went on to be in that soap opera Passions for like several years. And then never ever found consistent work again. So maybe he was just a pretty face. I don't know. But anyway, so Eddie is a receptionist at a police station. His dream was to be a policeman, but it didn't work out because his eye got injured, which becomes a major plot point.
Yes.
Then he has his besties... Chaz, who's this bisexual, smooth-talking guy. Joey, who's meant to be ugly, but he's actually quite cute. But he's, like, the socially awkward one. And then Toby, who's, like, really outspoken and, you know, he's just, like, he's sassy and owns himself. And then Jake, the bad boy, who's Eddie's love interest.
And we know Jake is a bad boy because he smokes cigarettes, has a tattoo, and rides a motorcycle.
Yes, his introduction is literally Eddie is giving out some missing person flyers in the street. He sees Jake standing outside a tattoo parlor, smoking a cigarette shirtless. When he walks into the parlor, Jake is erotically bleeding because he's getting a new tattoo, and the tattooist almost seductively cleans the wounds. And that's how we know we're in for this somewhat erotic, very gay slasher film. This is the
saddest gay fantasy I've ever seen on screen.
I mean, I can't say it was my gay fantasy.
This is such the biggest, the boy that beat me up in school, I want him to be in love with me type fucking bullshit.
So you guys are close to catching him then? That keeps it lively.
Nah, I wouldn't worry about it. The cigarettes will kill you first.
Counting on it.
So, before we get into the plot, though, clearly, if you had to rate this film, I'm really interested to know, if you had to rate this film, what would you rate it out of 10?
I give it 3 handcuffs out of 5.
You switched my ratings!
I just kind of feel like, yes, it doesn't bring anything
new. You're sticking to handcuffs because we did the Gacy episode recently.
Also, I'm your slave, so I've got to, you know, this is my role and I'm playing it. I don't want to be punished. I just think it was, fun. There's obviously nothing. It's not a cerebral film. There's not a whole lot going on here. It basically is just a generic, by-the-number slasher film, but everyone's gay.
Yeah. I think what I found about this film is, even the filmmaking itself is, very polished and digital. All the main characters are these, white, Ken doll.
Excuse me, Chaz was clearly Latino.
Was he?
He was tan.
He was slightly tan. They are these Ken dolls that are, dancing on screen. And then we'll go through the plot in a second, but there are various parts of the characters and how the plot comes out that just made me cringe. And I am not someone who's worried about the political ramifications of a film. I don't approach things this way, but there are things where I was ooh, that's a bit off in this film. Yeah.
I mean, it definitely is odd that this film was written and directed by someone who is presumably a gay man, seeing as this was his sort of passion project. I think it may have been the only feature film he directed, but after this film, which is actually, it's interesting because this film does, for its budget, it's quite crisp looking, the lighting is good. Because the director, Paul Effridge, did go on to become an art director, he obviously has an eye for what looks good on screen in terms of, lighting and colour palette and stuff like that. And you can definitely see their expertise in a lot of the shots. It's, it's lit quite well. It's shot adequately,
it's lit, in my mind, as someone who knows nothing about film, as opposed to you, the way that it's lit reminded me of a TV. It's filmed like a TV show.
Yeah, well, the cinematography is very TV movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought the production design in some parts of the film did obviously, you could see the director had an eye for what looked good cinematically in some areas. So I'm not that surprised to see that that's the area he kind of ended up in.
I think Cruising, which is a film we've covered on Sinister Sissies before, where there were LGBT groups protesting outside the screening of Cruising. I think Cruising is a far better gay film.
I'm actually going to admit right here and now that I love Cruising.
I spent the entire of our review of Cruising talking about the fact that Cruising is one of the most amazing films ever. And I feel like in terms of gay representation, it's a much better film than Hellbent.
Well, Hellbent is kind of like if there were a group of gays, but okay. Well, I mean, they're from West Hollywood, so I mean, that kind of says it all. It's like a group of really cliche Hollywood.
I think these people exist.
Like pretty boy gays. But there isn't that much, they're not the deepest humans on this planet. But I did enjoy, I felt like the friendships in the film do feel real. So I did like that part of the movie. Like that's, you know.
Did we see a different film?
But I do respect that you have an issue with like the weird, like super masculine slash. It felt like it wasn't written by a gay man, but we're going to assume that Paul is gay.
No, I actually think it feels like it was written by a gay man. Maybe like a
fantasy?
This is classic gay porn characterization and plotting. This entire film are little fantastical archetypes of like a sad 40-something gay man.
It's interesting that you say that because that's actually what one of the main characters, Chaz, speculates that the killer is.
What makes people kill like that?
Probably some 40-year-old gay guy that just came out of the closet. He's probably jealous of all the nice hot guys like us walking around. Shit, I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you want to kill us?
So the plot is these two gay guys meet at a cruising park and one of them is giving the other one a blowjob.
Is it necessarily a cruising park? I thought it was meant to be like a romantic...
Well, one of the police officers in the film refers to it as a cruising park.
Oh, okay.
And she's meant to be like a progressive, like... cool, like, police officer. So I'm going to roll with that it was a cruising park.
Yeah.
And there's great dialogue. Like, what do you want to see? These Halloween balloons or a hot night with me? Because one of them, for some reason, has Halloween balloons in the car when they're hooking up.
Never explained.
And then the guy's like, the balloons last longer. Anyway, there's some great dialogue. Just you have to see it to believe it, really. That couple are murdered, decapitated by this mysterious
one guy.
Killer.
That's the balloons in the car are too much for them to like start fucking, and so one of the guys comes up with the genius idea of like sticking his head out the window when he gets fucked, and the killer comes in and chops off that guy's head, and then I can't remember what happens to the other guy. He just gets
stabbed. It's an off-screen murder.
Yeah.
Obviously, the budget was wearing thin, but we hear that he was murdered underneath the car.
So these are our opening kills, and I will say that this scene. In playing, you know, playing homage to the slasher, you know, cliches, I thought that the opening was well done.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it definitely felt like I was watching, like, you know, a slasher film from 1981 just with two gay men.
Hmm.
Wow. Oh, shit. Shit, you really are ticklish. Well, if you like that, you're gonna love this. Oh, fuck. No. Oh, shit.
Can we start off by the introduction of our main character?
Okay, so...
No, because it starts off with our introduction of the main character that he's printing out mugshots. Of attractive criminals?
Yes.
Is that what's happening?
Yes, that is what is happening. I wrote this down too. So basically, our introduction to Eddie, who's meant to be the good kind of vanilla boy next door, he's the receptionist at a police precinct, as we've discussed. And his character introduction is him printing off pictures of hot perps and his sister, who's a police officer, busting him. And it's meant to make him somehow endearing, but how is that not creepy?
Well, because doesn't she make a comment like, is this for you to interrogate them later?
She's like, is this for you to go to the bathroom later?
It's just,
I've seen this movie a few times.
Weird. It's just, that's a weird start.
It's very odd. I mean, let's like flip the switch here. If he was printing pictures of women who had mugshots,
that
would be like, you demon.
Fucked up.
It was a little strange that this was meant to endear us to him. It wouldn't have been that weird if it was meant to be like a quirk or like something to make him a little bit morally questionable, but this is meant to make us think that, like...
He's meant to be the little, like...
He's, like, so weird.
Innocent, all-American boy.
Exactly. Yeah. And then people frequently mention during the film that he's, like, quite, like, a chaste sort of guy and he doesn't usually do anything wild, but yet he's, like, a massive pervert.
The police chief asks him to hand out flyers about this, like, local murder and to contact police. And then he asks, can I wear my dad's police uniform? Meanwhile, his father was obviously a 14-year-old boy because the police uniform is tiny.
It's very tight. It's definitely very form-fitting. And so, you know, once again, some daddy issues present here, but that never really comes into play again. But yes, he's wearing that police outfit for the rest of the film. The wardrobe budget was obviously small, and it takes place on one night, I guess, so it makes sense. So, then basically he meets the guy we already talked about, Jake, his love interest, And in an attempt to kind of like interest and lure Jake in,
Bad boy Jake.
Yes, he decides to tell Jake some really confidential information about the murders.
Well, I hope you catch your man, officer.
The killer cut off their heads. He cut off their heads and he took them.
And then to further the inappropriate and unprofessional behavior, he takes his three best friends to the scene of the crime. And they all decide to, you know, like examine and dissect the crime scene and theorize about who the murderer was.
And so these three friends, we introduced them earlier. We have the bisexual one who's betrayed as just being like a huge slut. Basically, the opening scene with the bisexual character is him in a van.
Okay, I love that scene though. When the girl pokes her head out and she's like, I swear I'm 18, officer.
Yeah, which also red flag.
And she was clearly like 30 anyway, so it's...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fine.
So the slutty bisexual character, there is the nervous, quiet guy who's in chaps or whatever.
I personally related to that character.
I was going
to
say, it kind of looks like you.
Thanks. He was meant to be ugly.
And then we have the confident guy in drag who... Throughout the entire film, we're meant to sympathize for because no one wants to fuck him when he's in drag. Meanwhile, he's beautiful and, like, has washboard abs and is in no way effeminate.
Even in the drag, you can see the biceps and triceps, they've been getting work several times a week for many years.
I said earlier when we weren't recording that I think that this film was trying to say something. I think it was trying to say something about, like, how gay men don't like effeminate men or something like that. Meanwhile, that was not an effeminate man. That was like a straight man in drag.
Evening, gentlemen. Don't touch the tits, but you can feel the ass all you like.
You've got the biggest set of balls.
Yes, I do. And right now they are crammed into a space about half their size.
Oh.
Gentlemen, drag is both uncomfortable and scary as shit. Don't let the queens tell you anything different.
This group of, like, young gay friends go to the scene of the murder and theorize about the murder, why they were killed. And the bisexual one, Chaz, speculates that some 40-year-old closet case who is probably just jealous of hot young guys like them.
Yeah.
That's essentially all we get about the killer.
Well, that's another thing. They're all meant to be 22.
But, like, you know, clearly, you know, 22 plus 10.
Yeah.
And
which
then,
is an okay age.
Which is a great age.
That is my age.
And they're all very hot.
Yeah.
So... Then the killer conveniently shows up. They all decide that instead of being freaked out by somebody else showing up to a crime scene, they all proceed to moon him and taunt him, thus making themselves targets. And that's basically the point of the film. Then they all go to this gay Halloween carnival where the killer follows them and kills them one by one.
We have to kind of yada, yada, yada through the Halloween carnival bit because not a lot happens. Our main character meets up with the bad boy. The character in drag gets rejected by men, and they're at like the hardcore section of the carnival, the like leather bar section, where the nervous boy finally meets the boy of his dreams and gets his number. And that's when we get our first kill.
It was a very endearing moment though, because you could like, I actually felt like he was like, kind of like the heart of the film.
Are you projecting?
Well, I mean, you say he reminds you of me, so, I mean, I always want people I can't have that are, like, out of my depths. So, you know, he's, you know, in love with this jock who doesn't even remember he exists, but then finally the jock's like, you know what, you're a good guy. And then, like, right after that happens, he gets killed. It's like, no, your life is just about to get good. So, you know, you kind of, that's what I do feel like, for the most part, like, with the exception of one character, I feel like the characters for a slasher film do have, like, okay character arcs. Like, I do feel
I
like...
I say depth for a second there, and I was going to be like, what?
Well, I do kind of feel like... But I feel like they do feel... I know that the characters aren't particularly deep. I do believe they come across as four people that would be friends.
Look.
And so I enjoyed that element of it.
They come across as people that I have seen at gay bars and people that I hate.
Well, likewise. But, yes. I believe that they would be friends. You know how sometimes you watch films where you're like, why the hell would these seven diverse people all be best friends? Like, there's no way that all these people have like a commonality that's going to bring them together.
The friendship group in Scream is a great example of that.
Yeah.
It's like the weird video store guy, the popular chick, the quiet, chaste girl, and those people would not all hang out together.
Look, I can't imagine, unless like, I can imagine like Sydney and Tatum being like childhood friends that became like high school best friends just by default, but like, yeah, definitely weren't on the same wavelength. Tatum was way cooler than Sydney, just saying. I enjoyed the first 40 minutes of the film actually more than the slashing component, because I felt like the friendships did feel like authentic, and I was like, oh, I want like to see like these good things happen to some of these people and stuff. But then once the killing happens, it kind of just becomes very by the numbers, which is fine. Mm. It's not a film I was expecting to tickle my pickle in like a whole like new way.
Tickle your pickle.
Tickle my pickle, that's right.
I'm the opposite to you. I could not wait to see them get murdered.
Well, tickle your sickle, because the killer uses a sickle.
Ah,
yeah, there you go.
Clever.
So yeah, I mean, the killer's MO seems to be decapitation.
Yeah.
He decapitates everybody.
The first kill is the leather boy, the nervous leather boy who's after the jock. He's killed first. The next kill is the hot bisexual guy as he's dancing, and it's a bit of a generic kill. I don't know if we see much of that, do we?
On the topic of the first kill, actually, that's speaking of like the like kind of like gender roles in this film. The only time we see any like femme presenting gay men is those two guys that walk in to the toilet and find the first body, and they're like, they walk past the killer, and one of them's like, nice abs or something like that, and then they're like, oh my god, honey, blah blah blah. They go in the toilet and they're like, ah,
yeah.
And I felt like that was kind of a homage to, like, that scene in Scream, speaking of Scream, where there's those two, like, cheerleader girls who start bitching about Sydney when Sydney's in the toilet.
A ridiculous scene to rewatch, by the way. There are so many scenes in Scream where it's like, are you going for comedy? What is this?
Look, I'm going to say yes. But yeah, that's the only time in the film that people who are, like, in the gay community and, like, femme presenting at any...
Yeah, they're
presented, way, and they are, like, kind of like a joke. So... I'm curious as to if the filmmaker was trying to educate people that, like, not every gay person...
I don't think this. I know exactly the kind of guy that would make a film like this.
Well, look, I'm not saying I'm not on his side or on any particular side of the fence here. I'm just trying to speculate, because it actually is kind of odd. Mm. You have a character that is, like, is wearing drag for Halloween and proclaims he spent $300 to look like the perfect drag queen, yet is like, I'm in drag.
Yeah, that's what he says.
I'm a man. This is so... Why doesn't anyone see me for who I am?
And, you got to get to that scene later. Yeah.
Interesting to me that the only, like, femme-presenting, like, homosexual men in this film are just used for comic relief and, like, nothing else.
Mm.
So it's just, I wonder what point, if any, was trying to be made, you know? Or it could have also been you never know with getting funding for a film like this, there may have been pressures from, like, producers or funding sources. We don't know. We can't.
I don't believe in any of those excuses. I think it is a sad gay male fantasy where he wants the buff, hot white boys to be the stars.
Well, he got his wish.
Yeah, and so he cast it that way, and that was his fantasy. I feel like, any idea that this film was trying to be, like, political... Yeah. To me, I would be very surprised if it was trying to do that.
So the next kill after, like, the socially awkward guy is, like, the bisexual, like, party boy who's popped a couple of pills. He's, like, dancing in, like, this kind of, like, really strobey dance floor. And the killer starts, like, swiping him with a scythe.
Yeah.
And no one can tell because, like, the lights are strobing and stuff. I thought it was actually a pretty cool sequence. Anyway, after that, which, just ends in, like, him being decapitated on the dance floor and nothing really comes from that. Then we have the third murder, which is of the drag queen character.
Mm.
And it's interesting because
The weird thing about this is that the killer doesn't seem initially interested, because are we meant to be thinking that the killer perceives him as some sort of woman?
No, I think that... See, that's the thing. I think the film might have been trying to make a point that the killer was targeting, like, the superficial aspects of, like, the gay community, because the killer's not interested in killing the drag queen character until the drag queen character admits to finding the killer hot and tears their wig off and shows his driver's license and muscles.
It's like you couldn't tell.
So, but yeah, but basically, once he identifies that he's this, like, textbook sort of, like, hot, like, West Hollywood gay guy, then the killer wants to kill him. So there's, like, so there's something going on there where the killer doesn't want to kill people on the fringes, but wants... So you could also argue that the director's kind of fighting against that that kind of superficial West Hollywood or in Victoria, South Yarra gay kind of, like, stereotype. But I don't know.
We're currently recording in South Yarra.
I don't live here.
I don't think that's right. I think that he picked and cast this film and wrote the characters as objects of sexual desire.
I definitely agree with that. I do.
As all slasher films have with all the hot women that get killed. And I think we're meant to be like the killer's only interested in men, and he was confused. And it was really poorly done.
Hey! I like your costume. You work out, right? I can tell. You play any sports? What gym do you go to? Well, you've got enough candy already? You couldn't use a little more? I don't always look like this, you know? You superficial faggot! It's Halloween, Jesus! God, here, look! My driver's license.
Main character and the bad boy then head back to main character's place.
After the main character is attacked by the killer, but the bad boy saves him.
Mm-hmm. Once they're back, they start getting it on.
Wait, we haven't mentioned the glass eye bit, which is like the film's like memorable moment.
Okay, so
basically after the drag queen character is killed and the main character is attacked and pursued by the killer and the bad boy saves him, not before the killer tries to, I don't know what's the term.
Sickle-ish.
He has a sickle and he tries to remove the main character's eye, but it turns out the main character has a glass eye because he lost his eye in an accident, and that's why he could never become a police officer, because you need both eyes to be optimally working, apparently.
He can't shoot straight.
He can't shoot, that's right. We established before that he likes guns, but he's never been able to use one well.
Everyone likes guns. Guns are amazing.
So then that happens. They go back and they're about to have like a heated sex scene where there is a little bit of a little bit of an after school special moment where there's a bit of a condom PSA.
Yeah.
So like the bad boy is in the bathroom like trying to find condoms, and he's like, and speaking of handcuffs, which has been an ongoing theme in the last episode and this episode, he handcuffs the main character who has his police fantasy to the bed. So then while the bad boy Jake is looking for the condoms, he says something like, condoms suck, but they keep you safe.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Condoms are cool. And then, yeah, then the killer appears again and stabs him many times. Mm-hmm. But we get a bit of a showdown where, as you might guess, the main character who has always wanted to be good at shooting guns but can't because of his vision, finally has to confront that and use the gun
to protect his man.
He obviously shoots the killer because that's his heroic. His full circle moment. This is also PS.
Fix his glass eye. He's not going to get into the police force.
This is after the killer uses his tongue to remove his glass eye, to which he just has an empty eye socket, which one of my friends has glass eye. There is not just like a realm of nothingness behind. Yeah. But anyway, So yeah, he uses his gun to shoot the killer, but he's obviously not that good of a shot because the killer survives. And then, yeah, like the climax ends and then like we find out the killer hasn't actually died and the main character like peers like into the ambulance where he's getting loaded up. And then the killer like opens his eye and sticks his tongue out and he's still got the glass eye in his mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's there's not a whole lot of subtext in this film. It seems like the film's aim was just to be like the gay answer to a slasher film and to titillate gay audiences. Mm. There was some kind of deal with Logo TV, which I don't know if it still exists, but in the noughties, it was quite a popular gay man-oriented cable channel.
I feel like there used to be more money around for that sort of shit.
Well, there would have been, because it would have been a more niche market you couldn't access elsewhere.
But now, like, there's gays on all the mainstream things, and now we've just kind of dispersed it out. We've came too normalised.
Yeah, I think it's all Queer as Folk's fault.
Yeah.
They started it, and it just kept on stemming out.
Don't get me started on Queer as Folk as a separate rant.
I won't. Look, when we run out of horror films to talk about, we can talk about some of the more horrifically written episodes of Queer as Folk. Yeah. How about that? Even though I'm a fan of Queer as Folk, whatever. It helped me... Queer as Folk is what made me realise I liked men, so... Well, okay, I knew, but it made me, like, confront that I liked men. Why are we talking about Queer as Folk?
This is, I don't know.
Let's cut this.
You're having a confessional moment. You're leaving all of this in.
My tears.
Let me list the things that were lacking in this film.
I feel like there's a lot. I've been watching Jared's face the last 20 minutes, and it doesn't look happy.
Okay. One. Hot sex. Where was the hot sex?
Excuse me, there was that one steamy shirtless makeout session.
Not enough in 2020.
Look, I'm making fun, by the way. I definitely agree there should be more hot sex.
There should be more hot sex. The characters, again, I think this is... He's not comfortable writing gay characters. He's comfortable writing straight characters who happen to be gay.
Look.
Which is terrible. Also, the killer is... We know nothing about this killer. What is the motivation?
He's really hot. We do know that. Because he wears a mask and he has a six-pack. He's dressed as like a devil kind of in latex kind of thing.
Yeah. So there's nothing else going for the killer. And so I don't know what I'm supposed to get from this film other than to feel like... representation.
Well, I feel like that was literally the calling card of the film. It's like, let's make a gay slasher film.
Yeah.
Great, that hasn't been done before. Here's a couple $100,000, you know? I do feel like this sort of premise was done a little bit better recently. If anyone watches the Hulu series Into the Dark, there is an episode called Midnight Kiss that just came out in January. It takes place on New Year's Eve. And it's very similar to Hellbent, only it feels a lot more authentic. Like, the way that the characters are portrayed is a lot more authentic. You can tell that the queerness isn't being evaded by the writers. So maybe check that
future
out.
Future episode?
Maybe, yeah. Midnight Kiss, here we come.
Okay. I don't know. I can criticize this, and I will continue to criticize this film.
4 hours later.
But to be honest, I don't think we've really had it yet. We haven't really had a good gay slasher film, with the exception of Cruising, which is its own kind of subgenre.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a slasher, but yeah, Cruising is definitely eons above this in like every way.
Similar,
is that even the right term word?
Eons.
Eons.
Similar with Knife plus Heart, which was a recent French giallo.
Knife and Heart was definitely much better than this as well.
But again, I don't know if that wasn't quite slasher. That was very much like a giallo horror.
It was, but I appreciated it very much. So thank you very much.
Another future episode.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Thank you for listening to the Sinister Sissies podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Sinister Sissies. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Jared Bartle. That's Jared with a Y. If you feel like it, please consider contributing to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/sinistersissies. It would really help out the show.
Also, because Jared's so desperate for a date, if you're interested in dating Jared and getting his attention, the Patreon would be a great place to start.
Pay me for it. I'm not going to do it for free.
Yeah, that works. You know, we're struggling here.
I may cut that out, I might not, I don't know. Sam doesn't believe in social media, so if you want to pass any messages to him, please DM me. And until next time, stay sinister.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.